In verse number 8, he talks a little bit about meditation and how we can concentrate more on God. So verse number 8. Abhyasa yoga yuktena.
Abhyasa yoga yuktena.
Chetasa nanya gamina.
Chetasa nanya gamina.
Paramam purusham divyam.
Paramam purusham divyam.
Yati parthanu chintayan.
Yati parthanu chintayan.
Abhyasa yoga yuktena chetasa nanya gamina paramam purusham divyam yati parthanu chintayan. So he's talking about meditation and how we can increase our ability to concentrate on God. So abhyasa yoga yuktena. So abhyasa means practice, yoga yukta means by the practice of regular meditation. And while meditation, chetasa, mind, na anya gamina. Gamina means going, anya gamina means going to another place. So mind not going anywhere else. And then what happens when your mind is constantly upon that Lord, does not go anywhere else, when you regularly practice meditation or ability to concentrate? What happens? You reach that Supreme Lord, and here he has given us three qualities of the Supreme Lord. Paramam Purusham Divyam. Divyam means resplendent, brilliant. Paramam Purusham means the Supreme Consciousness. Yati reaches. O Partha, O Arjuna, Anu Chintayan. Anu means constantly, Chintayan means remembering. So constantly remembering me, not only in meditation, but as often as possible, mind not going anywhere else, you will reach the highest. Now we say that it is very difficult to concentrate, but anytime you look at any individual who has tremendous accomplishments, they must have concentrated. Like, for example, if you see a gymnast, now the Olympics, you know, we have seen how the gymnasts focus on the beam, or how in the circus we see people riding a unicycle and also doing tricks and doing. How are they able to do that? Through practice, through constant practice and through focus. It doesn't happen overnight, these abilities. Or an artist, you know, with a beautiful painting or a great invention or a discovery, it all needs effort and concentration. So when we see an individual who is able to focus and concentrate so much on worldly accomplishments, what they say is that if that same individual were to now apply his energy towards spirituality, how fast he would reach God. So the point is that whatever abilities we have, of course we have to be successful in the world, but part of the time we have to put that same energy, what I put in acquiring this skill, put it in reaching God. And so this concentration is very important. And they always, when he talks about death, Bhagavan Sri Krishna, in this chapter, it's not only the death of the body, but while living, if your ego dies, if this separate individuality that separates me from everybody else and me from God, that is the ego. When the ego dies, then God alone is. So what separates me from God is this ego, this feeling that I am somebody special, I am separate from God, I am separate from everybody. But I and God are one, and I and everybody are one. That is called death of the ego. And a person who can give up their ego in this life itself and become an instrument of God or a humble servant of God, then such a person who becomes one with God and constantly remembers God, Anu Chintayan, that is said to be a realized master. So they say God doesn't have to be reached after death. You know, after I have died, maybe I'll go to some world. But in this life itself, we have seen in the lives of great masters, Puja Gurudev Swami, Chinmayananda Ji, and so many other great, saints and prophets, Buddha, Mahavir, Mirabai, you know, Jesus. So all these great saints and prophets have shown us that in this life itself, I can attain that highest ability. And that comes from constant upasana. Upasana means upasana, sitting close to God. So sitting close means, of course, I should spend certain amount of time where I have exclusive time with God. So whether I'm meditating or whether I'm praying, maybe 10, 15, 20 minutes every day, just sit and just constantly either pray or meditate or think. So in those 15, 20 minutes, my mind should not wander anywhere. And then throughout the day, anuchintayan is keeping as much possible my mind in that reality. Now divyam, divyam means resplendent. Parama Purusha is the supreme consciousness. When they mean resplendent, means the light of consciousness which illumines my eyes to see, ears to hear, my tongue to speak, my hands to move. So that consciousness, which is the light of consciousness, is said to be divyam, is said to be resplendent. And our relationship with God is eternal. We can never separate from God because God is with us at all times. I may think that I don't think about God or don't focus on God, but God is with us constantly hearing, smelling, tasting, touching. And my relationship with God is permanent. So they say, how to do that? How to develop love for God? You know, people say, it's quite difficult. So they said, get a Ishta Devta. Ishta Devta means one particular form of God that I love more than anybody else. And it can be anybody. We are not saying that it has to be only one. It can be Sri Krishna. It can be Sri Ram, Mother Durga, Lord Shiva, Ganpati. It doesn't matter. But one particular form of God we have to pick and say, that is my supreme. Ishta means that that's the one I love the most, I want. And one shouldn't think, oh, if I pick Lord Shiva, maybe Lord Vishnu or Krishna will be upset. No, because they are all one. They know that. Krishna, Vishnu, Lord Shiva, Ganpati, they are all one. They know that because there's one Brahman. But you and I, we keep the distance. Oh, he's a Krishna Bhakta, he's a Shiva Bhakta, he's a Hindu, he's a Muslim, he's a Christian, he worships Allah, No, there is only one God. We can give him different names. But the one that you love, develop constant relationship, chant the name of the Lord, take the mala and do it 108 times. And the more often you chant the name of the Lord, even if you don't have the mala while you are driving, if you are not doing anything, just chant the name of the Lord when you get up in the morning or when you are taking a shower. You know, just remember the God and thank him for the warm water that we have, And so right knowledge is very important. Otherwise, we get so focused in all the differences. So they say, see the oneness. See the commonness. All religions talk about the same. You know, kindness, love, compassion, honesty, truth, you know, sincerity. If a religion teaches hatred, then that is not religion. All religions should teach love. And Anu, as I said, should be while I'm meditating or praying, my thought should be there and then throughout the day. Now, people say, that is very difficult. That is so difficult. But think about it. A mother, now she has a newborn daughter, right, who's 3 months old, and now she has to go to work. And she has left her daughter with the nanny at home. Now, does she need to sit with her eyes closed and chanting Om to remember the daughter? No. Her mind is constantly, even whatever work she's doing, she may be in the office, maybe a manager, or maybe dictating letters or typing or on the computer. Part of her mind is thinking, how is my daughter? Periodically she will text the nanny or she will call. She does not need to put an effort because she has love and she has identification that daughter is me. Me and that daughter are one. So when I have that kind of identification and love for God, that God and I are one, then I don't need to put an effort to remember God. It becomes spontaneous, it becomes continuous, and it is filled with love. I'll tell the story of Dhruva. It's a very inspiring story. Some of you may have heard it, but recently I was reading some more details about his life. So Dhruva was a 5-year-old boy. His father had two wives, Suniti and Suruchi. Suniti was very kind, very compassionate, very loving, loved her family. Her husband was very unselfish. Suruchi was, maybe, I don't know, for some reason, the king was more in love with Suruchi. Maybe she was prettier or whatever. So he always thought about his younger wife and, you know, took and loved her son more than Dhruva. Dhruva was the older wife's son, Suniti's son. So one day the younger wife's son was sitting in the king's lap, and Dhruva, who was 5 year old, ran. He said, "I also want to sit in my father's lap." And the father was about to pick him up when the second mother comes, Suruchi, and she throws Dhruva away very angrily, throws him to the floor. He said, "You cannot sit in your father's lap. If you want to be sitting in your father's lap, you should have taken a birth from my womb. So go to Narayana and pray to him that next time you should be born to me, then and then alone you can sit in your father's lap." She was very cruel. And Dhruva started crying, and the king was so afraid of this wife, he wouldn't even say anything. And so Dhruva was crying, and he went to his mother, and his mother was helpless too, because she knew that the king just listened to the second wife. So she told him, she said, "You know what? Your stepmother told you to pray to Narayana. Go ahead and go and pray to Narayana. But when you pray to the Lord, don't ask for small things like your father's lap. Ask for the highest." So she gave him that advice. She said, "You have been told to pray to Narayana. Go and do that, but ask him for the highest." So Dhruva is crying and walking, and he goes into the forest. He wants to meditate on Lord Narayana. And he meets Naraji. Naraji, you know, is a great devotee of God. And he appears there, and he asks him, "Where are you going? And why are you crying?" He says, "I'm going to go find Lord Narayana." He says, "But, you know, you are only 5 years old. Even great rishis who have been sitting in the forest and meditating for years cannot know him. How are you going to know him? Anyway, it's your time to play and go home, play with your friends, eat and drink. When you grow up, older on, then you can come and worship Narayana. Now it's time for you to enjoy." Dhruva says, "No, I want to find Lord Narayana. And if you can help me, do that. Just, can you please help me?" Because he could see that Naraji is a wise person. So Naraji gives him the mantra, "Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya." You know, it's the Lord Krishna's, Narayana's mantra, which also chants in our Chinmaya mission. So Om Namo Bhagavate, he says, just chant this mantra and Lord Narayana, Lord Vishnu will appear. So he says, okay. So he takes instructions from the teacher and he goes and sits by the bank of the Yamuna River. And every morning he would get up, take a bath, and then all day he would be chanting the name of Narayana. So it is said the first month, he every third day would eat a fruit. One fruit, that's it, from the tree there, one fruit he would eat, that's it, every third day. Then, in the second month, every sixth day, he would stop his meditation and drink water. No eating, just water. In the third month, every ninth day, he would stop his meditation and intake only air. He would just only intake, you know, do pranayam, no water, no food, nothing. And in the fourth month, he stopped eating everything, no drinking, water, nothing. And his mind just on Narayana. And he was standing on one leg and chanting, "Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya." And people always ask, how can somebody survive for months without food and water and all that? So scientists who have done studies on yogis when they are in deep meditation or when they go into the samadhi, they find that their metabolic rate drops very significantly. Their BMR drops to such a rate that their heart rate drops to like 18 or 20 and their respiratory rate drops to 2 or 3. So they are not even breathing, their heart is not moving, and all their whole body metabolism slows down. So in that state, a person can stay for a long time, just as bears, you know, when they go into hibernation. For 6 months, they stay without eating or drinking, sleeping, because their metabolic rate drops. So Dhruva was able to, for several long period of time, standing on one leg, chanting the Om Namo Bhagavate, not eating, drinking, nothing. And he went into a deep samadhi. And then finally he sat down and he just disappeared. There was no Dhruva, that absolute end of that individuality. And in that silence, when he stayed for months and years, finally Vishnu Bhagwan appeared in front of him. Now the Lord appeared, and Dhruva, who was waiting for Lord to appear, was eyes were closed and he was gone. He didn't even know where he was, who was with him. Nothing he knew. And then the Lord said, I am here now to give you darshan, to show myself to you, and you are not waking up. So Bhagwan touches him with his conch. You know, Vishnu has the conch, you know, Padma, Chakra and all that. Gada. So he touches him with the conch, and Dhruva opens his eyes and he sees the Lord in front of him. And he just bows down, and he's so happy that all my effort have borne fruit. And he then gives 12 beautiful verses. It's called Dhruva Stuti. If you have time, Google that. And you'll see that the entire Vedanta, all the knowledge of all the Upanishads is in those 12 verses. It's most beautiful. It's the 5-year-old boy, but it is because of Lord Vishnu's grace. He touches him with the conch, that he's able to recite this beautiful truth where he says, Lord, you are not only outside, but you are inside. You are the light of consciousness that illumines me and the sun and the moon. This whole world is Maya, is an illusion. You are the reality. You are the substratum. And it is because of you. Such beautiful, I can't repeat, you know, that will take too long. But I would encourage everyone to read those 12 verses. It's called Dhruva Stuti. And if you want Vedanta in capsule, that is it. There is no higher truth you can get than that beautiful words given by this 5-year-old. So the point is that if that boy can put his effort and reach, why can't you and I do it? So that's what the... hearing these shlokas is an inspiration, hearing these stories, that, you know, it is possible. And it is possible in this life itself. One does not wait to need to go to a next life. So that's what he says. You will reach this Parama Purusha Divyam, this supreme consciousness which is resplendent. Now that phrase needs more explanation. Who is this supreme consciousness? Who is this resplendent?